Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it's Linda here with Right from the Left Coast in Oceanside. We have about 40% humidity, but not quite as bad as Indiana. About 75 degrees, and it's beautiful. This particular show is brought to us by Hollis Buchanan and PatriotFamilies.com. Great place. I've posted pictures up there of Delaney. I don't know if you folks have had a chance to see it, but it's really pretty amazing. Hopefully Rod can sign in. He's probably having trouble. He was over on the other site saying he was going to come in as a guest, so that'll be good. Welcome, Ron, and all my listeners, if there's anyone out there in Blog Talk land. And we were talking in the chat earlier about the IRS and the Gestapo tactics of them. They don't treat people correctly. They have a license to steal, and it's horrible, or at least to enforce it. Our government's run amok. And okay, here we go. I'll pick you up in a second. Hello, you're on the air. Hey, Ron.
Hey, darling. Carry on with your show. I'm just calling in to listen for the moment because I'm on AOL and BTR keeps killing the sound every five seconds. So rather than deal with the aggravation, I'm just going to call in.
All right, good. The IRS, I'm sure you've probably had it up to your eyeballs with those clowns. We were, talking about not trusting people and Rand Paul, and I really like Rand. He's so much like his dad, and he's so upset with these people. And I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. I mean, we only have a tiny handful that have 1 ounce of integrity left, and he's one of them. And I was making there's our guest. I hope that's Rod. He can't type, so hopefully he can hear. He'll go on the other side, but. I posted that, as Milton Friedman said, where are these angels among us who are in charge of the government? get over it. You can't trust anybody, so except the Lord.
Amen to that.
Yeah, the founders knew this so well. I mean, they warned themselves even. They didn't even trust themselves as well. They knew human nature. They knew that this could fall so fast, and I'm sure that even at the end of their lives, they probably were grateful that it lasted as long as it did. I mean, our republic's hanging by a thread. Everybody's saying the same things that if the Leviathan gets back in, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure out how to pack up and do something. That guy terrifies me. But I know Romney's no saint at all, and he's probably way too far left of center, but I can't take four more minutes of this other one, let alone 4 years. And I know the country would never survive. It's just it's the final nail in the coffin, as we've said, and many others have said on other radio shows. There was another kind of interesting piece that I got. That thing that Rand talked about where they're giving money to, what was it, Pakistan? I mean,
yeah.
That
ought to make people absolutely damned furious. And, really? We've talked about the foreign aid before.
Yeah.
And he made a very valid point. Outside of this doctor that Pakistan has arrested and put in prison for allegedly helping us get Osama bin Laden. Outside of that.
Right.
The point that he made is that the government is borrowing money to send foreign aid to these countries, irrespective of whether we think they're our friends or not. Just the very idea of borrowing money at the taxpayer's expense to send to a foreign country is beyond the pale. And hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi. We're all here, Bill. I'm hosting the show, of course, and I know that the guest should be Rod Luke, and he just can't sign in for some reason. But the money that's wasted in this government and has been for how many decades? I can't even count the decades, Ron. It's got to be eons, just just
since it was founded.
Okay, 236 years.
That's a couple of centuries and three decades and a few years on top of that.
Yeah, 5 minutes and some odd seconds. It's
right.
It's not fun. I mean, that's just one program. How many more programs are out there? The waste, fraud, and abuse for all these decades and decades is beyond the pale. I can't even imagine how much money. And the reason, of course, as we all know now, we keep feeding it to them. Of course they're going to steal it from us and do what they wish with it. They're nuts.
Well, yeah, and I was reading, I think it was today, where DHS has somehow misplaced $500 billion.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, it must have fell down in the couch during the last staff meeting.
Is that what you're going to tell the IRS people?
You know, let me tell you something. That really pissed me off.
Oh.
This woman that I've been dealing with, and I won't say her name, but
yeah,
from the outset, she has been horribly condescending.
Oh.
And, you know, everything is Mr. Golden.
Oh, God.
You didn't let me finish.
Oh.
And, you know, just on and on. So I quit talking, and they're silent. She says, Mr. Golden. I said, oh, I'm sorry, are you finished?
Oh.
I mean, you know, smart ass. And so I've been trying to work out an arrangement with the Internal Revenue Service.
Right.
And I disagree with the amount that they say that I owe them. I disagree with the whole damned amount, but that's respectful. That's a whole other battle. I know one that probably won't win, but we shall see.
Yeah.
But in the interim, what they have done is, you know, look through my transcripts, and I see where, you know, okay, here's a year where I paid in, and I'm just going to make up some numbers, $15,000 in taxes, federal taxes that year. And then the next line is a miscellaneous penalty for $16,283, so it negates every dime that I've paid in. And this occurs every year from 1999 to 2011.
Oh, my gosh.
So they've basically taken everything I paid and gated it.
Ugh.
And they claim I owe the entire amount that I've paid over that entire amount of time, which is a little over $176,000. Well,
wow.
I disagree with that. And, you know, I've looked through the Internal Revenue Code, and I can't find a definition for this miscellaneous penalty.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's on top of, you know, the penalties and interest on this presumed debt that I owe. So when I called the woman this morning, because she's only in the office on Wednesdays, she informed me, she said, well, I didn't hear back from you. And I told her, I said, well, you told me to contact your supervisor. And I did, and I left a voicemail, and I never got a return phone call. And I was out of town, and it's
right.
Wednesday. I took the day off so that I could call you. She said, well, I've already issued another levy against your wife's pay and against your bank account.
Oh.
And I said, you knew that I was getting ready to write you a check.
Oh.
For my offer and compromise. And so now you're telling me you've levied my account. And so I won't be able to write you a check, because if I do, it will bounce. And then I'll be on the hook for a bad check. And she laughed. She said,
oh my God.
Mr. Golden, there's nothing I can do. And yeah. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm glad that you find this effing funny, because I don't find any humor in it whatsoever.
Wow.
So now,
what's this tax advocate person going to do for you? Or,
well, the taxpayer advocate is an office that Congress established to work with taxpayers to try and coordinate and get some kind of resolution between taxpayers and the Internal Revenue Service.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So,
I hope, yeah. There was, I was going to go real quick to this piece. It's kind of short, but it was called
You go ahead. The missus just got home, Miss Penny, okay. So I got to talk with her for a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to mute my mic, but I'll be here.
Okay. All right, good. Thanks. It's called Constitutional Police Power, Including Tort Law, Isn't Subject to Federal Authority. So it starts with the Supreme Court's decision in the Obamacare case highlighted the limits of federal authority over states and individual rights. Over and over again, Chief Justice Roberts wrote of the Constitution's enumerated powers for the federal government and of the need to protect states from an overreaching federal government. He defined states' rights in terms of the inherent police power, which is reserved for the states. And the quote is, the Constitution may restrict state governments as it does, for example, by forbidding them to deny any person the equal protection of the laws. But where such prohibitions do not apply, state governments do not need constitutional authorization to act. The states thus can do and perform many of the vital functions of modern government, punishing street crime, running public schools, zoning property for development, just to name a few, even though the Constitution's text does not authorize any government to do so. Our cases refer to this general power of governing possessed by the states but not the federal government as the police power. And this was United States versus Morrison, year 2000. So Justice Roberts was unwilling to enable the federal government to mandate the purchase of health insurance under the Commerce Clause in contradiction to the police power of the states. The Commerce Clause is not a general license to regulate an individual from cradle to grave, simply because he will predictably engage in particular transactions. Any police power to regulate individuals as such, as opposed to their activities, remains vested in the states. The government argues that the individual mandate can be sustained as a sort of exception to this rule because health insurance is a unique product. The proximity and degree of connection between the mandate and the subsequent commercial activity is too lacking to justify an exception of the sort urged by the government. The individual mandate forces individuals into commerce precisely because they elected to refrain from commercial activity. Such a law cannot be sustained under a clause authorizing Congress to regulate commerce. So Justice Roberts cited the U.S. v. Morrison case, in which then Chief Justice Rehnquist wrote several times that the Constitution reserved the police power to the states, and quoted from the Supreme Court's ruling in the U.S. v. Lopez case, we always have rejected readings of the Commerce Clause and the scope of federal power that would permit Congress to exercise a police power. So all of these other people were commenting, and it said, Paul Clement, who argued the case against Obamacare before the court, also asserted that the police power resides with the states. That was a debate at the 2011 Federalist Society National Convention. In the brief filed for the state of Florida before the court, he asserted that the Constitution reserves the plenary police power to the states. So all of these people are saying the same thing. So what is included under the umbrella of the constitutional police power? Well, one of the Republicans' favorite legal experts and an anti-Obamacare theorist says that tort law is a police power not subject to federal authority, which is cool. And then it goes, Professor Randy Barnett, but tort law, body of rule by which persons seek damages for injuries to their person and property, has always been regulated by states, not the federal government. Tort law is at the heart of what is called the police power of states. Indeed, if Congress can now regulate tort law, which has always been at the core of state powers, then Congress and not the state has a general police power, which is not a good thing. And another top Republican anti-Obamacare constitutional expert clearly agree with Professor Barnett's conclusion that Congress has no business regulating tort law through, for instance, federal limits on awards and medical malpractice lawsuits. It's just amazing what's going on here. I'm going to go back to things so I can see if anyone else has called. No, they haven't. what were you saying, Bill? I guess you were listening to me reading. Well, exactly. This is what everybody's terrified of. They're just usurping power. That poor little Constitution has nothing left to it. nothing. It's like a little tiny thread, a shred. The only ones who know about it are people like us who read it, and we read history. My God. There was another thing on Glenn's show today, and he was the author of the book called The Communist, and this is all about Frank Marshall Davis. It talks about basically how Obama and when they were introduced and by whom. I believe it was Stanley Dunham, which would be the grandfather of Barack on, of course, his mother's side. And so, and this was like probably, I think, sometime in the 70s, because he was supposedly born in 61. God knows. Nobody knows the truth about this guy. And everything that was going on with Frank Marshall Davis, this guy was a piece of work, card-carrying, absolutely a card-carrying communist. And this was his main, Barack's main mentor for all this time, and since he was a small child. And many of the items that were said by Obama from, say, 2007 all the way up to present day, it's like he's a Stepford clone of this Frank Marshall Davis, because Davis was also talking about his allegiance and his admiration of Mao Zedong. He talked about fundamental transformational change. He talked about redistribution of wealth, social justice, leveling playing fields, socialized national health care. I mean, just on and on and on. And also the other telling one was that that the United States is no longer a Christian nation, if it ever was one. I mean, it was like every single speech and soundbite that we've heard from the schmuck in chief, this guy, this is where he got it from, because it's, the words are identical. Obviously somebody put them in his teleprompter from all his other things that he's been doing all of his life with Acorn and everything else. So, and of course he's studying Saul Alinsky and reading probably the Communist Manifesto backwards and forwards. And again, we have, Ron is sort of on the air, but he's dealing with family. So anyone wants to call in, it is 646-378-0321. Would love to have any of you, Rod, Bill, call in and talk about what's going on, because a lot of these things, especially with the health care, that's just, you know, like you say, Bill, the gateway to Agenda 21. And it's funny because the socialistic or Marxian, Keynesian stuff that they want to keep shoving down our throats, they always talk about equalizing things and everything's equal, and that they're trying to make the second Bill of Rights, of course. And the basic example that was in the Ayn Rand Center, the right to the pursuit of happiness is precisely that, the right to the pursuit, to a certain type of action on your part and its result, not to any guarantee that other people make you happy or even try to do so. Otherwise, there would be no liberty in the country. If your mere desire for something, anything, imposes a duty on other people to satisfy you, then you have no choice in their lives, no say in what they do. They have no liberty. They cannot pursue their happiness. Your right to happiness at their expense means that they become rightless serfs, i.e. your slaves. Your right to anything at others' expense means that they become rightless. That is why the U.S. system defines rights as it does, strictly as the rights to action. This was the approach that made the U.S. the first truly free country in all world history. And soon afterwards, as a result, the greatest country in history, the richest and the most powerful. It became the most powerful because its view of rights made it the most moral. It was the country of individualism and personal independence. Today, however, we are seeing the rise of principled immorality in this country. We are seeing a total abandonment of by the intellectuals and the politicians of the moral principles on which the U.S. was founded. We are seeing the complete destruction of the concept of rights. The original American idea has been virtually all wiped out, ignored as if it had never existed. The rule now is for politicians to ignore and violate men's actual rights while arguing about a whole list of rights never dreamed of in this country's founding documents, rights which require no earning, no effort, no action at all on the part of the recipient. It says, you are entitled to something the politicians say simply because it exists and you want it or need it, period. You are entitled to be given it by the government. Where does the government get it from? What does the government have to do to private citizens, to their individual rights, to their real rights in order to carry out the promise of sharing free services on the people? The answer is obvious. The newfangled rights wipe out real rights and turn the people who actually create the goods and services involved into servants of the state. So we know how that works out, not well. And I think Rod keeps going in and out, probably because he's having trouble with Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, I'm not sure if Ron's back on, but if he is, he may not be. But Bill, call in if you like. Just going through all these things, I was really interested in seeing what this author, and I can't remember his name now, but because I don't have it up on my screen, that did The Communists, and I guess it got published just recently, and it went from, I think on Amazon it was number 14, and then it shot up within a couple hours to number one. You know, Beck had him on his video show, so that did that. But that would be a good one to have to keep reading. I did finish reading Kill Your Teacher by Rabbi Shifrin, which was absolutely astounding, because what they did to that poor sweet man is just heinous. I have met him several times. He's extremely well-educated, very professional, polite. The guy speaks like five languages. He always wears a suit. He's still got his, you know, Hasidic beard, and he's got a little skull cap for being Jewish. But he's just wonderful and quite an able teacher, and they just vilified him because he just wanted some decorum and discipline in his classroom. I mean, you know, like Terry talks about, the no pencils, no paper, everybody's wandering around the room doing what they want. It's just horrible. And he did everything he could to help the children. And I believe he was in a high school in Los Angeles, which would be a nightmare. But after 2 years, they finally got rid of him. It was like the principal was an evil Nazi, and it was just horrible what they did. I mean, everybody just, the parents and the stupid Nazi advocates, that's what I call them, the students, just vilified him and just cremated him. I mean, you know, that's what they did. It was horrible. So, you know, when I finished reading the book, my heart just sank, and I thought, because my dad was a high school teacher for 28 years. Fortunately, he was kind of in the suburbs and he had a good school, and that was years ago. But I was just saying to myself, I'm so glad my dad's not here to have to see this, to see what's going on, even from, say, the early 90s through today, and I would imagine it's 10 times worse. It just astounds me how these people get away with this stuff, and there's no justice for this guy. He lost his profession. He lost credibility. I'm sure he was, you know, like ostracized. In, you know, the 20th century, for, you know, trying to be a good teacher. And here's this guy, on top of it, you know, it hasn't been that long since good old Hitler's regime. You know, here's a Jewish guy who's just being tormented. And I'm like, and nobody stands up for this man. There was definitely several pages of folks on his side that knew him and read the book and told him he was so courageous in writing it and hanging in there for the 2 years that they were just vilifying him and destroying him, and the poor thing. And I just, again, there was some very good people that did stand up for him, but, you know, I don't think he could ever probably go back to public school teaching. If he was smart, he'd go to a private school because he's completely well qualified. Again, anyone that would like to call in and weigh in on it, 646-378-0321. All topics welcome. We'll just, we're all back safe and sound from our Delaney trip. And I think I mentioned earlier, I did put some pictures up there. I'm not sure if Bill has seen the pictures yet. They're in the forum under photos. So I had a little fun with that, putting them up there. And all the grandkids are so cute. So, yeah, that was really a lot of fun. And I got some good pictures of the lake and stuff. So, again, I'm not sure if you guys have seen them, you can type in the chat room or call in. And, you know, we just, there was a lot of things talking about, still they're vilifying Obama for his speech about, because people are pretty up in arms about him saying that if you are successful in business, you didn't get there on your own. So people are just coming out in droves on every talk show, TV show, conservative talks. It's amazing what's going on in our country, in our media. The media is just so complicit. I do believe they're complete traitors and have been for, oh, I'd say maybe 80, 90 years, probably further back than that. So, yeah, it's pretty disgusting. And I was saying earlier that if he gets reelected, I'm going to have to get over to Indiana, Bill, real soon. I don't know how I'm going to do it, because that just terrifies me. I tell you, I have to figure out a way. And I showed my mother the little, I think it was Jackson County Real Estate Information, you know, booklet that I had picked up off the table there at the lodge. And she says, oh, my gosh, the prices. I says, oh, yes, mother. The prices are normal. Normal for normal people. California is nuts. But the only, like I said, the saving grace is the weather. But I'm still kind of putting rubbing alcohol on my mosquito bites. It'll take a while to heal, but I'm okay. We did have fun. And I told Brian in the chat room on the other site that, you know, he wanted to go, but he had a lot of work and he couldn't get away. So, you know, he said he would check out the photos and everything. And I was telling him about all the, yeah, drive fast. I know. Thank you. I will. So Brian said that that he was, you know, I was telling him all the good food we had and everything and kind of gave him a description of it. And he says, wow, that sounds neat. And so he's basically going on tour, and I think he may be going overseas for the whole summer on his music gigs. And so he won't be back till mid-September to do radio shows. So our Friday slot at whatever time we want to schedule is open. And basically, yeah, good comment. I think my car will go probably 80, maybe 85 on the open road, so that won't be too bad. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And, you know, if you guys want to call in, 646-378-0321, if you guys have good connections and can do that, that's great. I got about a half an hour left, and, you know, we go through so much worrying about the country, worrying about the tiny shreds of freedom we have left. I'm glad and grateful that we're still on the air. They haven't knocked on my door yet. And I was chatting also earlier, well, before we opened the show and everything, Ron was talking about the IRS and all these things that are happening and taking money out of banks. And apparently they did, when he emptied the bank account, they gave him cash, because over here, sometimes they'll give you a hard time. If you want all cash, you may not get it. But the good news is they still have those little check cashing places down around the corner. I know I have to pay a premium for it, but still, you know, it's better than leaving it in an institution where they can just totally do the bank holiday or seize your assets, or stupid HHS or IRS comes in, you know, takes your money because you're not buying health insurance. Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Linda.
Awesome.
It is. It's like it's all coming to a head. We're seeing it all come to a head in all directions and stuff. And it's like it's extremely overwhelming. And in some ways, it's depressing as hell, because you're like, but then there's little things there that show you there's still a ray of hope. There's still a glimmer of hope.
Sure.
And that's what we got to do with. And it comes to having faith and standing in that faith, because without that faith, we're going to be lost.
I know. And, you know, I don't know, we don't know what's going to happen at the August convention, but if Mitt is the one, then I don't know. I would imagine that we would rather have him than the other one. So, in fact, I got a letter from the Romney camp wanting money and stuff. So I'm just going to hang on to it, because I'm not giving money to anybody until I know what's up, you know. And
we're not going to know what's really up until after the convention.
Right. And whoever gets my support, you know, on the conservative side, If it's Ron Paul, that would be amazing. I wouldn't have to worry about him. But if it's Mitt and he gets elected, I'm going to call in some favors if I phone bank for that dude. You bet your sweet bitch.
And from the way the media, who they're trying to shove at us as the VP choices for Mitt. Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
You know, I don't know what people think. We didn't get to where we're at by just Democrats.
Right.
George W. Bush, they both had a part in the Agenda 21, the global takeover, and
yep.
everything that's going on. They were setting things up for these other people, for Clinton, for Obama. And when you realize that, then you got to realize Condoleezza, Karl Rove,
yep.
all these people were a part of it. You're playing right into the global elitist hands.
I know. And I know that George H.W. Bush was also, he signed on to that Agenda 21.
Well, he's the one who brought it out into the open and stuff. It was actually Clinton who signed on to it.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
And I think it was in 92.
Right.
But then you look in 2007, George W. Bush signed a deal with Canada where in the event of a civil unrest, the Canadian military can enter onto our soil to assist the government.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I thought we had Robert on there, but I think he dropped out. Maybe his phone went out. Hopefully he'll call back. But, Agenda 21 is frightening stuff. I mean, everything they're doing, the Lost Treaty, the Gun Treaty, the health care bill, the Agenda 21, the IRS, the TSA, I mean, it's just endless.
Look how the trade treaty deals affected Mexico when it dang near crushed the Mexican farmers and put them out of business. Remember the Mexican farmers driving their tractors
yep.
and stuff to the Mexico City?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what that was about. Because the way these trade deals are working, they put them out of business. They crushed them.
I know. There's two more treaties. I got to tell ISA to stop doing. Or not sign on to it. One is Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that's not a good one. And then there's the CRPD, which is the new one for the people with disabilities, and that's going to override. We already have an Americans with Disabilities Act, and they just want to double down on us. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership is pretty evil. I've got to do some research on it, but. Both of these have to be brought to ICE's attention, and you guys get some research and go tell your congresspeople and senators, no more of this stuff. It's horrible. And a lot of times, even with Feinstein, which is amazing because she wants to be reelected, she'll actually agree with me on certain points, and she'll give me a real email back, not just a form letter, So I think a lot of people are distancing themselves from this leftist Marxist crap that's going on. So,
well, you say that, Linda, but then and just this morning I was writing blogs and stuff about the fact that where is the GOP? Why do they sit silent through so much of this?
I know.
This Arapaio deal, the Arapaio investigation into Obama and all that. Which actually started before the investigation into Joe by Holder.
Right. It's crazy.
It was Holder and the Obama administration who tried to strike back because he was going to be looking into Obama. Well,
mm-hmm.
when the evidence is there, and the way the media tried to attack Joe and those that brought the evidence forward, instead of attacking the whole idea that it was fraud. It's fraud.
I know. Well, that's still, in fact, I just got, I think the guy who's running for judge, I told you guys about Gary Creep. He's with one of the law institutes that has been going after Obama on several issues, not only the birth certificate, but illegal immigration, et cetera. He's one of the good guys, and there's a lot of things happening. I believe he was talking that, I think it was Oklahoma did something where they're, I know what it was. I don't know if you saw it or I got it from Facebook, or it was about the health care that they're going to the state of Oklahoma is going to punish by fining or imprisoning any agency, federal or state, that tries to impose this mandate on any citizen in their state. Okay, let's see.
Good for Oklahoma.
Other states should follow suit.
Here, my governor wants to leave it up to the whoever's going to be his predecessor.
Right. Is that Robert?
That's Mitch Daniels for you. He doesn't want to make the decision. He doesn't want to make the decision and tell the federal government, hell no, we ain't doing it. Although our state legislature has said we ain't doing it.
Right.
Basically between Greg or Pence or Yo's friend Ruben, whoever's going to be the governor, whoever that is, he wants to leave that decision for them or get their input on the decision. There shouldn't even be a decision. The decision is, hell no, we're not doing it.
Exactly. Is that you,
Robert? We already have a great system.
Yeah, I know. It's the best. We have the best medical system, and they're trying desperately to destroy it. Well, look what they've done with California's. We got Medicaid, we got Medi-Cal, it's nuts. And Medicare, which is universal, it's horrible. And I mean, these programs like Social Security and the rest of it, they're so Marxist. I mean, they're just. Go ahead.
Look, I have to hang up. I just want to say hello, but I got to go to the store real. I got to go to the store real quick. But anyhow, I think we're on the balance of World War III, and that's what I just wanted to say.
Oh, I know. What's going on in Syria is crazy. It's horrible.
I know it is. But I have to leave. But I just want to say a quick hello, and I just wanted to say I just didn't have time to speak.
Thank you so much for calling, and we always love to hear your voice. And have a great trip to the store. Be careful.
All right. Stay safe.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. Anyway, so go ahead. This is, I'm looking at this. Nationalized health care. The IRS is evil. DHS, TSA, Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid, welfare. It's we're so close. I mean, how far more to the edge do we have to be? It's that simple, Bill. We're there.
Yeah. Well, look where we're at, Linda. We're at a point where Obama does the amnesty, which totally violates, everything. And there may be one or two that are standing up and throwing and complaining. Where are the rest of them sitting silent? Their silence is complicity, whether they realize it or not. GOP, if you sit silent while Agenda 21 or any of this stuff, if you're sitting silent, you're complicit in it. That's the only way we can view you. We should, if we were putting the stamp on your head, it'd be a C for complicit.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, because it's kind of almost like you're garbled, but it could be my Skype connection. So am I clear?
You're clear, yes.
Okay. It's just maybe it's my speakers. They get crazy. So let me put this over, hopefully. Anyway, I'm so nervous about this upcoming election. And then, as Robert said, they're pushing for World War III. You know they are.
Well, I'm hearing Mitt Romney's not fighting hard enough. He's not striking back and all this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't see anybody in the GOP striking and hitting back when they're doing this stuff in Congress, and the Agenda 21, the treason by the amnesty and going around, or after cap and trade was shut down, he goes around and does it behind their back through the EPA. Come on.
I know, they don't say anything. We were talking earlier about Rand Paul. He was pretty much upset on the Senate floor, and I got the video from another source. He was bashing them for sending all this money to Pakistan. I mean, billions and billions of dollars to people who have no respect for us, who treat us like you know what. And he was livid. And he's going to force a vote on the Senate floor. I'm sure he's going to go head-to-head with Dirty Harry.
Well, hell. We're financing Al-Qaeda.
The what?
We're financing Al-Qaeda. We're financing the Taliban. We're letting Hamas and them work to do this and that. the Muslim Brotherhood is within our administration.
Wow.
We got the
Muslim Brotherhood guys right in the White House hanging out with because he's one of them. It's insane. I mean, the guy is just the most evil thing that's ever.
He thinks he's one of them. When it truthfully comes down to it, Linda, they will kill him because they don't consider him one of them. Do you not remember what was going on in Egypt and Northern Africa there when all the Muslims were taking over? They were killing the blacks, the black Muslims.
Right. Well, how do they feel about people who are homos or bisexual? Because I'm sure
they'll use him. They will use him, yes, because he is serving a purpose for them. So they will use him. They'll buddy all up to him and whatever he wants. Yeah, but it's like I said about Anderson Cooper, who was making fun of something today. And I was like, well, go spend a year in Iran and let them know that you're openly, tell them you're gay. And we'll see how you like it at the end of the year.
Yeah, because they'll bury him up to his neck and stone him to death. Or hanging.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Yeah, people are, Bill, when you look at these people like Anderson Cooper and some of these idiots on PMS LSD and stuff, it just, I have to pity them and I laugh at them at the same time. They are so damn stupid. Because they have no concept of other countries and how sick and twisted these other cultish religions are and how primitive and nutso they are. I mean, All he would have to do is go back and was it CBS or one of those? I know Glenn Beck got the clip when that poor sweet lady over in, I think it was Egypt, and she was being raped, just mercilessly, and they almost killed her. That's all you need to know, Anderson. What the hell's wrong with you?
I often sit back, and that's something that always kind of intrigues me some, is why do these people support Islam, that if Islam has their way, they're going to kill?
Oh, my God. There won't be no infidels.
These Hollywood actors.
Yep.
These fake politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All these people, women who support I don't know why any woman would support Islamic Sharia law.
They have their heads someplace weird. I have no idea. They must. They've never read the Quran, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, that's right. They must. in my neck of the woods, we were raised that you respected women. Your wife is your equal. She walks beside you, not behind you.
Right. Oh, I know. There's some places like Japan where women are still second class citizens, but in the primitive Arab and Muslim nations, it's 10,000 times worse. They're not even considered animals to these people, and that's how they treat them. I don't know. Well, hell, they're stuck in the like 8th century, aren't they? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. That's why it's intriguing. Is why does someone support this kind of thing, knowing this is exactly what they're going to do to you if they get in? You're not going to be exempt because you supported it.
Yeah,
you're still an infidel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because they have all those rules in the Hadith and everything where you can lie and you can, cheat. Anybody who's not a true Muslim, you can do anything.
As long as it serves the end purpose of Islam.
Yep, absolutely. As long as it's going toward what Allah and Muhammad teach you. Yep, it's pretty sick. I know. I don't understand it, Bill. I mean, I've got people in my own family. I mean, they try to avoid these topics, et cetera, as much as possible because they can't handle it. It would disrupt their lives and their little happy, bubbles that they're in. They're not seeing this coming. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play out in November, what's going to happen, but... I'm going to have a serious talk with my sister because if I need to skedaddle to Indiana, someone's going to have to take care of my mother. Because she has to be protected.
There are people around. Like me and Ron said, heck, we may have to take over the park.
Yep. I just, problem is, I can't get her to move, and she'd never survive. survive the heat or the trip.
Well, like I told you, when you get down over where I was telling you guys over that last day, and you get down underneath and into the valley, because the sun is blocked out by layers and layers of leaves and limbs and stuff, it's much cooler in the valley.
Okay. Well, at her advanced age, though, I'm not moving her, and she wouldn't do it. I know she wouldn't do it anyway. So.
Well, I can understand. I can understand that, and I can understand a lot of people will try to stay because, you know, their homes is their kingdoms and things, and try to save it and protect it. And you know, I don't know what will happen with a lot of people. I know, though, that we're on the verge of something in this country.
I know.
And
terrifying.
I pray to be wrong.
Yep. Me too.
But I also am prepared if I'm not.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think we always have to pray for the best and always be prepared for the worst because we don't know. But, if we get that feeling, that gut feeling that it's going to hit, and the things could happen because history repeats itself because the dummies won't read it. So that's the deal. We have to be prepared.
I get up every morning and like, okay, Lord, what have you got in store for me today?
I know. Absolutely. That's what I do when I'm thinking about flipping on one of the AM stations to hear, you know, like I'm going, uh-oh, what are they going to throw at me today?
And just reading, catching up from the weekend and reading and listening to some of the stuff, it's like the madness just doesn't end, but I came back with a little bit more of a, I'm able to smile, still go to battle, but smile about it.
Yep.
You know, it's not as wearing on me as it was. It was a relief. And, if it wasn't so damn sad, it would be hilarious.
Right. I know. Exactly. I totally agree. Did you see the pictures on the site yet?
Yes, I did. They were amazing.
Hey, John,
I showed them to my wife. She was trying to look at them when I was trying to log on to your show.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, good. Because my mom just thought the littlest one was the cutest little munchkin. She loved those cheeks because, the smaller they are when the great-grandmas get to those ages, they just go nuts over those little cheeks, you know. They love it. I do, too. They're so sweet. But, yeah, so we had a good time. And, just so many things. You know, in fact, Donald Trump was on Hannity's show talking briefly about Mitt Romney and all this stuff. And Hannity's asking, asking Trump, when is Mitt going to get serious and start doubling down and hammering this guy? And Donald says he better soon. He better just take every guy off and go for it. You know,
in this kind of situation, I believe Donald would have done better because he'd have been all over Obama on everything.
Oh yeah, that's true. But, we got to, who knows who he's going to pick for VP, whether he's going to do it before the convention or after, God knows. I'm sure Romney's pretty confident that he's the one because you know how full of themselves they can be. And, all that stuff. I don't think he's an evil man.
In the past, there have been those who thought they were the one, only they turned out not to be.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, they were dropping like flies, you know, during the debates, the primary, pre-primary, all that nonsense. It was just quite a circus. It was just theater and circus. Unbelievable.
I'm one of them guys. I have a really, really old T-shirt I wear here and there, and it's an underdog shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm pulling for the underdog.
Absolutely. Well, that's why we want Ron Paul, because he's it. I mean, everybody's always crying about we need our our founding principles and our second founding father, and I'm going, what's wrong with you people? He's standing right in front of you, you dummies. Oh, no, they can't see it. Oh, they're like lemmings, Bill. It's astounding to me. I think
I'd like to see a Ron Golden as president.
Oh, my Lord. Can I be VP? Actually, I'll be the what do you call it? The person who's in charge of the purse strings, and you'd be VP. How do you like that?
Could you picture Iran and Obama debate?
Oh, Lord. That would be priceless. I would pay
money.
I would pay so much money to see that. Are you kidding me? Oh, God.
What do you think, Chad? Chad says he would love to see that. My wife's sitting here and shaking her head. That's what I'm saying. Somebody who knows what they're talking about is going to bomb you with facts and statistics right to your face and dare you to contradict them, because the only way you can contradict them is to bald-faced lie.
Yep. And then you get to call them on.
And when someone can overwhelm you like that, I've always said, there was a time that Lou Dobbs had talked about running for, you know, everybody talked about pushing Lou Dobbs for president back prior to 2008.
Right.
And I thought, in a debate, Lou Dobbs is going to slaughter any one of these guys, because he has so much information in his head, he doesn't need a teleprompter or stuff. It's there.
You bet. Well, you know who else never needed one? He may have some cliff notes or something. Was Ronald Reagan. That guy could give a speech like nobody's business. And he did pretty well, you know. And he tried really hard to get the economy back and everything. And he used the Calvin Coolidge model for lowering taxes the best that, you know, I don't know how many people in the Congress were on his side. You know, they're always up against that. So you can't always put all the blame on one branch.
That's true. That's true. Me, myself, I'm a guy who talks from his heart. I gave speeches before. I think I spoke to you about it when we had. I gave four speeches in one day. Three of them were written down, and the fourth one was I just got up there and let it go from the heart.
That's it.
Everybody was like, "Well, you're not doing that again." And so the next time I was supposed to give a speech, they set me up. I was about a block away from Frosty Woolridge's Paul Revere rally in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they tell me, "Well, you're the guest speaker."
Oh wow!
I had nothing, you know. I had nothing, so all I could do was get up there and give it from the heart.
There you
go. It must have been something, because it started a relationship between Frosty and I, and I had women from the crowd tell me, you know, I almost made them cry, but I gave it from the heart. And if you ever meet me, you've met me in person. So, you know, I talk from the heart. I don't talk from, it comes from my heart.
Sure.
And
you know, that's the way it should be, because you should know, and you do, who you are, what you believe in, without having to have any notes or anything, and possibly not even any rehearsals or whatever, because it's going to come just like when, I think it was one of the CPACs a few years ago when Rush Limbaugh did it. He said, he may have had a couple little notes, and that was it. He didn't need a giant piece of paper or anything else. He just talked, because he's been doing this a long time, and studying conservatism, et cetera. And he just lets it go, and he talks from the heart as well. You know, a lot of people don't like Rush because on his show, you know, he's pretty conceited sometimes, you know. But that's just who he is. But when he does CPAC stuff, he's all about America and trying to have liberty and go by the Constitution and freedom and the American people and individualism. He gets that, man. He knows capitalism. He's rich. He knows that it can be done, and he believes it. So he can talk about it with no problem, and that's what you got to do. And I'm so glad that you got to do that, Bill. That's great.
And our job is to, you know, waking people up and informing people.
Right.
And a lot of people, they truthfully don't believe that it can happen, that everything that is really going on can be happening. They're blind to it.
Yep.
They're immune. They have blocked it. They're, no way, no way, no way. Government can't do that. Government can't do that. There's rules. There's rules. Well, there's supposed to be rules. That's our problem. They can't follow the rules.
No. Well, what's happening is, and I'm not just, we know that we can go back to several administrations. We're not just picking on this one, although it's very radical, and we know that. But these congressional, like the 110th, 111th, 112th, all these guys, they have been marching in lockstep with socialism for just so long, like Ron says, 236 years. And we just now woke up to it, and so that's why we've got the fight of our lives on our hands.
Well,
that's
there you are. There you are.
when we woke up from the Tea Party and everybody woke up and
right.
everybody took a look around and we're like, holy crap.
Yep.
Because
Very.
Of how far it had already gotten, belongs to us. Oh, I'd love
sure.
to be spending time, you know, more time with my family and my grandkids and my relatives and my friends and stuff. And I'd love to be able to do that. But I also feel like I truly feel like from my heart, it's my obligation as an American,
sure.
as a veteran, as an American, as a father and a grandfather, it's my obligation to stand up and start shouting when this kind of wrong is going on and the very opportunities for success is being stolen from all these children.
Yes. And, you know, when you and I got a chance to sit in the one cabin where we had the air conditioning up top and we were talking and everything and that whole weekend, I'm hoping that all of us have inspired those youngins like Chad and the rest of them to do their own homework and find out what they need to know. And really seriously, if you've got to understand what liberty really is, you've got to understand what the founders were about, how this happened, go back to even the Pilgrims' time, and you've got to understand it. If you don't, we're lost.
Well, I'm glad to have a bunch of old books and stuff around so I'm able to give them to these kids on history and stuff
yep.
and let them read for themselves and find out that this
yep.
is what it was. And they're
yep.
finding out that they've never been taught this stuff.
Oh, of course not. No, neither was I. Neither was my mother. None of us. I mean, that's why when I got my hands on these books that I have, I was just like so grateful. I was on my knees thanking the Lord. At least I can have it now, and then I can do something with it. You know, I mean, that's power. Knowledge is power, Bill. I'm telling you.
I was blessed to have a guy from Southern Mississippi, Larry Johnson. He was the head football coach at Brownstown, Indiana.
Yep.
He was also my American history teacher, and his passion for football didn't come close to his passion for history.
Wow. Awesome. That's a good thing. Well, I know that Ron's busy. I don't know if he's still there. I can't tell. He muted himself, so I didn't mute anybody, but I got about 4 minutes or 3.5, but go ahead and say your last piece, and then I'll do the show rundown. Oh, and
I just
like I said, we got Fridays open, so I've got to make sure Hollis and Yo know that.
Okay, well, maybe we could fill in. Here's what I want to say. We got to keep doing as you're doing and opening everybody's eyes to Agenda 21.
Yep.
Agenda 21 is truly the greatest threat that the United States and
Huge.
The world is facing.
I know, it's awful.
And,
oh, it's global. I know it's a global movement.
And God bless you, Linda. Keep
Thank
up
you.
Your great work.
Thank you.
And God bless everyone. Good night, America.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks so much for tuning in and calling in. And God bless you and your whole family. And I'm just blessing everybody on Patriot Families and hoping that God blesses my immediate family and everybody connected and our country. We've got to get this thing back on track, and we'll do it. And I know you're working hard, Ron, me, Yo, everybody out there, people who can do it. And tomorrow is Miss Terry Rowland, and she's amazing. You do not want to miss this lady, the teacher, speak. She talks about everything going on in the education, 7 p.m. Eastern. Fridays is up in the air because we have plenty of time to fill in. And I think they're going to cut me off in a little bit, but we have sometimes Saturdays, and we might be able to fill in for Michael Magic till he gets settled, 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday. Fed Up Frank Show. Ron usually hosts for that one, 7 p.m. Eastern. Good stuff. Constitution Hour, Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern with Ron Golden. Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, Bill Strong and Hollis Buchanan. Patriot Family Chat, always good. Wednesdays, back with me at Right from the Left Coast, and it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully this thing won't go nuts on me, but I'll play a little music if I can, see if that goes. God bless everybody. See you in the chat room.